Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Show to camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, you know what that song means. It means Nick Sirianni's coming up. Press conference in just a few minutes. First time we've heard from Nick since the bye, and of course, it's a trade deadline with the Eagles acquiring three players. What do we see this morning? Is Jair Alexander going to wear number 18? Is that his number here for the Eagles?
Sounds like it.
You like that number for Jair Alexander?
18? Well, I know it's bad mojo for people that think about it. But I'm like, hey, man, that's the number he wants to wear. He probably has a fit.
He needs to change that.
It's an ugly corner number.
Can't do it. Dude, that was 18? Jalen Rager's number. There's just bad mojo attached to that one. Yeah.
Also, am I missing? Like, can you picture corners with number 18 doing well?
Not one that plays well.
Yeah, we can't have that. I hope he reconsiders.
What was Maxwell's number? It was in the 40s. 44 or 45 or something.
47.
41.
Nah, yeah, it wasn't.
You
the
can't
40s.
Be in the 40s.
No.
And you can't be 18.
Listen, I wore 48 in high school. You can't play. You're in the 40s, can't play. They give it to the guys that can't play. Everyone knows that. All right, 215-592-9494. Twitter question. Sponsored by PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. You guys getting cooked here in this poll. Should the Phillies extend Bryce Harper's contract as an apology? Hugh, what do you think the voting is on this one?
Probably 70% no.
90.2% no.
Because, see, people, okay.
Don't do this.
Mean, that's fine.
Don't take
anything
on their vision.
They're not listening.
It's because, no, and I get it, because you're not hearing what was actually said. You're going off of emotion.
Yeah.
And the way that you answer the way you ask the question, they're probably saying no.
How else do we ask things around here?
Well, I guess you're right. You're right.
Well,
but it's an emotional response.
Yeah, the key is in the wording. We asked if they should apologize by giving them the money, and I knew going in that was going to be an uphill climb.
Big one.
Because nobody wants to apologize to players by giving them money. And I sort of agree. It's not really about the apology for me. It's just about shutting them up, shutting the whole thing up.
Yeah, but that's what they're going to do.
Do you think they're going to apologize? Do you think some people would rather trade him than extend him?
Yes. Yeah, I do. If you presented two potential options here, and again, I'm not saying I want to trade him. I just don't want to pay him. But to Kyle's question, if there's two potential options, one is the Phillies cash out of the Bryce Harper experience and they trade him for whatever they could get. And I think they could probably get some pretty good. He's still a productive player and he's not on a bad contract when you think about the other contracts in baseball. Or they give him more money and extend this whole thing into his 40s, right? I think the contract ends when he's 38. I think there would be a segment of people out there that would rather trade him, which is it's crazy that we've gotten to that point, but I do think that. I don't know if it's 20%, 25%, 10, but I don't think it's like 99 re-sign him or, you know, extend him versus one trade him.
I think those people are completely insane. That's ridiculous. It's completely ridiculous.
Well, what's better for the future of the franchise?
Extend him.
I'm not sure.
I am.
What do we think? All right. What do we think he's going to be the next? Let's just use the six years he's under
Forget
contract.
About the future. I want to make him happy for the next few years.
Why doesn't he just hit a baseball? He should be happy
already.
He does
hit baseballs. He had a fine season, by the way.
Fine is a perfect word. It was fine.
And that's where, for him, he was upset. Because he invoked the fact that he was hurt.
Yeah,
and he still gave out there and he gave it up for the squad.
Yeah, it's not my fault he was hurt.
Well, no. And see, that's what I think people are not hearing. You know, because you're thinking about, should Bryce get more money? No, technically he shouldn't. But if you're going to go out there and you're going to openly challenge Bryce Harper to be better and then walk it back.
Yeah.
That's the only recourse left when you do it that way. That's what I think people are missing, because Dave Dombrowski, I think he was fair for saying what he said. But Bryce didn't like it.
So when Elliot was on with us, he said something I think is really interesting, that Bryce is no longer a player that you dictate decisions around. I agree with Elliot.
Mm-hmm.
When Bryce first got here, and he still had an MVP left in him, and he won that in 2021, he still had Bedlam at the bank, like he had some huge seasons. Bryce Harper was, like, whatever he wanted, they did. Go get Trey Turner. Go get JT Realmuto. Re-sign JT Realmuto. He's not that guy anymore. Like, just having him doesn't guarantee you're going to have a great offense or win the World Series or anything close to that. So as he's no longer that player, he's still good. I can't just do whatever makes Bryce Harper happy. I'm out on that idea. Let's grab Aaron in San Diego. Good morning or good afternoon, Aaron.
Good morning, Philadelphia.
Nope.
Well, it's morning for you, not for us. So,
okay. So can I give my dumbest apology?
Yeah, sure.
So I'm still apologizing every time that a financial debate comes up with the smoking hot wife, because my genius sent some random radio show host a picture of my smoking hot wife.
Yeah, that was dumb. Darren, that was, and Hugh, you should be part of the apology.
What do you mean? What? Like, I didn't show anybody.
Yeah, but you told everyone that you passed.
No, that's Aaron's fault. Yeah. Aaron doubled down, and he just tripled down.
Yeah, but you could have said, don't send it to me.
And he wasn't wrong. Aaron did okay for himself.
But he wasn't wrong in his assessment, but he was wrong to send a picture of his wife.
No, I'm saying, but Aaron, yeah. Listen, Aaron, you know I love you. I met you. You're not that attractive, but your wife, you made up for it with the woman that you married. Congratulations.
What a wonderful compliment from Ray Hugh Douglas.
I'm saying it's all
holy
love.
Cow,
Aaron,
man.
I think it's safe to say that you outkicked your coverage. You're good.
All I've got to say, okay, is that every time I've got the YouTube channel on and she walks by, she goes, "I can't believe you."
Yeah.
You won,
Aaron. Like you won. You won. You're good. You're good to go.
All right. So in terms of today's topic, you know, this is a generational discussion. And I kind of understand Hugh's point of view, because he's a player. And, of course, the player's going to, you know, is right to ask, you know, for all the money in the world. And then Kyle, I understand that he's on the same side, because he comes from that, you know, entitlement generation where, you know, if you can fog a mirror, you think you're due something. But I got to tell you, you know, John Middleton has to make a decision with either his mind or his heart, because you guys are right. This is a great team, but this is a great regular season team. In terms of the playoffs, this is a team that has fallen short for the last 5 years, and we can't continue to do this. So John Middleton needs to take Bryce Harper, needs to take Dombrowski to the fanciest restaurant in Philadelphia, sit them both down, and say, "Dombrowski, please apologize to Bryce."
We way past food.
And then he needs to look at Bryce and say, "There's your apology. Now, Bryce, I want to pay you more money, but you've got to produce on the field." And what he did years past, that's gone. It's over.
Yep.
We got to talk about the present. And we cannot afford to pay any more money to a player that has each year has digressed. He's not getting better, especially with that violent swing, and he's getting older. He is not going to be that player he was 3 years ago.
You know the bet. Like you're right, Aaron. But if you're that, you should have did this before you went to the press conference and said what you said about it.
Yeah, but just because you make one mistake doesn't mean you have to make multiple mistakes.
No, I mean, but this is. Like we're beyond having that conversation now, like, and I understand
what
you're saying.
We're just sitting down saying, "I'm
no,
sorry."
No, because you've fired the first salvo, and your agent's job is to do the dirty work for you.
Good
this
call,
is
Aaron.
The wet work, if you will. This is what
the
wet work. I was trying to be fancy with the word, but this is where Boris comes in and be like, "No, Bryce don't want to talk. He's distraught. He's hurt.
He's distraught.
He's distraught."
I mean, come on.
He's hurt. He is hurt.
Yeah.
He wants more money.
Yep.
This is the beautiful part. Like, this is the thing that people don't understand about a really good agent. Like, I had Drew Rosenhaus, and we were talking about Drew this morning. Drew's a huge Batman fan, has a room full of like Batman figurines and stuff. Drew is he wrote a book a few years ago talking about Shark Never Sleeps. He is dogged when it comes to getting his players paid. Mm-hmm. And I remember when we were sitting in there and I got traded. And he was like, he was on the phone, like he's working the phones and everything. And he said, Hugh, they've already traded for you.
This is when you came here.
Yes. Yeah. He said, they've already traded for you. He said, you got them by the short and curlies. And he said, what do you want to do? And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, if they want you to come, he said, you could deny this trade. You could say you don't want this trade.
All right, let's hold the story. Yeah. Nick's here around it. We'll get to it after it.
Nick, before we get into football today, obviously really tragic situation in Dallas with Marshawn Nealon. First, your thoughts, but also you guys have a really big game to plan for, and now there's this very human, very raw element. So how do you strike that balance as a head coach?
Yeah, obviously, you know, the NFL is a brotherhood, you know, and so obviously that was on our mind this morning, and our thoughts and prayers go out to, you know, his family and the Dallas Cowboys. It just puts things in perspective, and I don't really want to speak too much more on that.
Nick, when you bring new guys into the building, not the football side of it, but this, I guess the indoctrinating them into the culture and just becoming Eagles, what steps do you take to make that process work?
Yeah, we kind of have an orientation for that, just to catch them up on everything. Every department, we've been doing that for a while. Every department has different things. Obviously, coaching, you know, with us have different things that we do. And so long process, I wouldn't say long process, but like just an orientation essentially to get them caught up. Our coaches do a good job of that. I spend time with them. My assistant Cole spends some time with them with the standards of how we practice. But, you know, you do that. It's not like this is our first time doing that, right? You do that when you bring a new practice squad guy in. So we've had a lot of practice at that. But I think the most important thing that we want to stress is a little bit of how we practice, what the culture is, you know, our team rules, stuff like that.
Well, on the field, give a general overview just of the three guys that you acquired, two corners and Jalen Phillips.
Yeah, looking forward to being able to coach those guys. They have familiarity with different. Every one of them has a familiarity with a different guy on our coaching staff. So, which is always really good. That doesn't always happen that way, but in this case, it did. You know, talented guys that have played a bunch of good football in the NFL, each bringing a different thing and bringing depth to our positions. Was really. Really excited about our roster, how it was, and it's been awesome to be able to add to it, and thankful to Howie for to add to it, and we're really excited to get these guys going and get them involved, and we'll see where they are at the end of the week and what that means for this game this weekend.
Been around Howie now for as long as you have, and seeing his aggressiveness in moments like this, has any of that rubbed off on you, or has it changed the way you view the NFL?
No, I think, you know, naturally, probably why I'm here. I have the same theories, same thought processes in that. I think one thing I think is always funny is, like, you know, at the end of free agency or right at the beginning of free agency, if we don't do something or we don't do something that everyone thinks we should do, it's like, oh my gosh, there's a lot more time to be able to add to the roster. And I think how we showed that every single year of adding to the roster at different times of really meaningful pieces to our teams that have had a lot of success. Just grateful to have a partner with Howie of, you know, being the best guy in all of sports as a GM at his job.
What do you like specifically about Jalen Phillips' game? I know he had some success with Vic in 2023. What have you seen?
Yeah, explosive player, you know, able to get to the quarterback, violent in the run game. Can create a lot of disruption, just a lot of how we like to play that position. So, you know, Vic having familiarity with him is obviously big. You know, it takes away some of that learning curve of, you know, getting ready to go. So a lot of things to like about him. We, you know, obviously you do a lot of work on these guys when they're coming out. of college, and you know, liked him then, and you know, it's been fun following his career. You know, we were able to practice against him a couple years ago. Really showed some really good things in that. Played against him, you know, in 2023, and so. Yeah, just a lot to like about him. Really, really, really good player. Getting to know him a little bit. Really like the person. So, yeah, excited to add him to the mix.
How realistic is it to have those guys up to speed in order to play Monday night?
Yeah, we'll see. It's everything's different. Everybody's a little bit different. It was nice to be able to get some time with these guys. You know, with a couple days off and be able to catch them up, that we have a little bit more time as far as playing a Monday night game this week. So, and we have more time to decide, you know, who's up and who's down and all that stuff.
You guys had success offensively going into the bye week. How did you make use of that time, and what were the more productive things that came out of kind of some examination there?
How did we use the bye? Yeah. Our normal process of you know, of what we go through. There's always things that you add to it. You know, so we worked our days that we worked. We took some time off. Little tradition. Some of the coaches came to my house to do some more work on one of the days off. I don't know if they like, I like doing that. I don't know if they do. Just our normal process. I'm obviously not going to get into everything that it is, but it adds and it continues throughout the time that we've been here and throughout our time in the NFL. But like our process there, you know, and we'll see what that looks like come Monday.
What's that day like at your house?
I don't know, normal work day, just at my house, yeah. So sometimes my dog's at our, I think my dog was right at Kevin's feet for a long, he must have pet him. It's kind of an annoying dog, or if you pet him one time, he doesn't leave you alone. So I've learned not to pet him. But I think Kevin did, and I think he was sitting at his feet pretty much the whole time, so begging him for me to pet again. What'd you say?
You won't be cloning the dog?
At corner, would you like to settle into a top three, or is it realistic to mix and match?
Yeah, I think whatever's best for the team at that, and you know, we'll do. So I don't have a preference one way or the other. All guys bring different things, and excited to have the depth that we have at that group.
Some schematic things that you found over the bye week that you don't want to share, but when you did get a chance to review the first half of the season, are there any overarching themes you saw that you would be willing to share, you feel like you learned?
I think we're doing a good job fundamentally over across the team, just as far as, you know, tackling and catching and taking care of the football, coming after the football, all those different things that, you know, blocking, you know, I think that's as general as I could possibly be. But, you know, we spend a lot of time on all the fundamentals of football. The fundamentals of football are what make and break every single play. So I like where we are fundamentally. We'll continue, but we got to continue to get better at that. We're not entitled to continue to get better without the work. You know, we're entitled to nothing. Everything we do and everything we have coming to us is earned.
What has Parsons done?
Guys in Green Bay in the last season or so. Just what do you see out of that team? What they've put on tape this year, and you know how they've been playing.
Yeah, I think this is a talented group of guys, both offensively, defensively, special teams wise. You know, a lot of respect for their coaches. You know, I think Coach LaFleur does a phenomenal job. I've always thought that and looked at his offenses and how his teams play from afar, and have a lot of admiration for him and the job that he does. They play hard. They play with good fundamentals. They have good schemes with good, talented players. So a lot of respect, a lot of good players throughout throughout every layer of their defense, a lot of good players through every layer of their offense and special teams. But like I said, just I feel like they got good players with good coaches, and that's why they've had the success that they've had. A lot of respect for this team.
AJ and Saquon both went into the bye week banged up. What can you share about, you know?
Yeah, you guys will get an injury report a little bit later today. We'll see how practice looks today. you know, I know that both the guys are working their butts off to do everything they can do to be ready to be available. So
a player that you're familiar with, but you're seeing him for the first time as a Packer, kind of two-part question here. When you think about Micah Parsons, what has he brought to the Green Bay defense thus far? And what did Carolina do so well in containing him in the last matchup?
Yeah. Micah Parsons is a phenomenal football player that can hurt you in many different ways. It just creates a lot of disruption, you know, and I think sometimes you think about it just only in the pass game. He creates a lot of disruption in the run game. Think about a fumble that he caused in our game against him in 2022. You know, it had nothing to do with the pass play. It was a run play. And so, so much respect to the player and who he is. I can't say enough good things about him. You know, thankfully we don't play him. We only play him once a year. Well, we played Green Bay twice last year, so we'll see how that goes. But, you know, Carolina did a good job of, you know, I know they stayed efficient on first and second down, stayed out of some known pass situations where he can be even more disruptive. But again, like I said, he's disruptive in everything he does. They're doing a good job of moving him around, putting him in different spots. So you have to account for where he is, but you it's hard to account for where he is because he's moving around so much. So a lot of respect for their defensive coaches and what they've been doing there. But can't say enough good things about him. He's really good.
What do you remember about Jalen Phillips in the joint practice you guys had down there?
What did Kelsey tell a story about him?
Kelsey?
Yeah.
I don't cover him anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't.
I remember that. No, I'm just kidding. He was just saying in that joint practice, Jeff. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, yeah, I remember he stood out for various reasons. I think he also had the specific signed jersey for having a good practice the day before, if I recall correctly.
Well, I didn't know that. The disruption that he can create. And, you know, it's always good. You know, we really our guys do a great job, you know, with all the good players that we have here. Of letting iron sharpen iron. And then when you're able to go against a guy on another team in a joint practice that's doing that too, it just helps those guys, help Jordan get better, help Lane get better. Very similar to how I felt like when we practiced against Cleveland. Again, all those things are great opportunities to help you get better. And I remember thinking, you know, man, this guy can go. And he's big. He's a big, have you guys been up to him yet? No. John Clark, that's the only one. The one I heard. So big, huge dude. Just enormous. Like I always, people will be, you know, sometimes it's like when I meet somebody in person for the first time, they're like, oh, you're a lot taller. And I'm like, well, I'm six three. It's like, but I do stand next to Lane Johnson and Jordan Mailata. Well, he does the same thing. He towers over me just the same way those guys do. So, again, like I said, just so excited to have him and to get to work with him.
What is your perspective on the season that Lane has had so far?
Yeah, you've heard me say this 100 times. Like Lane's one of the best players in the NFL, maybe one of the best players of all time at his position. The things that he can do is freaky. I see him continuing to do that. I love that consistency that Lane has. That he's a superstar football player. And he does it week in, week out, and I continue to see that through the season. So, feel the exact same way about him as I felt about him the last 4 years. And he's having a great year, and we need him to have a great year. He's one of our best players.
Caliber players trying to rebuild their career, whether it was Julio, Shaq Leonard, Robert Quinn. In Jair's case, how do you stay clear-headed about the player you respect from the past compared to the player you have now on the field?
Yeah, again, we obviously think highly of the player that we have now on the field. That's why we went and got him. You go to work, you practice, you see where he is, and you see how you're going to, what it's going to look like on Sunday. So excited to get out there with him today and watch him go. You know, normally I go to all the, the linebacker drills, or I go to the D-tackle drills, or I go to the D-end drills, and and really kind of mix into the offensive line drills. But today I'll probably be over there a little bit with the DBs, a little bit more with the DNs, and take a look.
Should he be made available on Monday for a guy who's done so much for the city, retiring, coming back? What's it going to be like seeing BG get out there again?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see where he is at the end of the week. But it's been great having him back in the building on a consistent basis. So just, you know, the energy he brings, the smile that he has on his face every day. You know, still one of my favorite things is to be able to, you know, I remember showing the clip in 2023 of him running down Dak and stopping a 2-point conversion. And it's like, hey, guys, you don't play 15, 16, whatever year he's on now, years in the NFL without all the extra stuff, with all the, you know, you talent alone never does get you that far. It gets you in the door, but it doesn't allow you to go as far as Brandon Graham did. So he has all those things that you like to point out in film, then it's nice to have that back. And, you know, we'll be, you know, when he gets back on the field, that's always, you know, we're kind of thinking that way now in the sense that he's back on the field practicing. So it's, you know, but when he's able to go back out in the game, you know, that'll be exciting.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Show to Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, there it was, the Nick Sirianni press conference there. It does not commit to BG playing Monday. We shall see. So we're going to watch that injury report with AJ and with Saquon coming off of what happened a couple weeks ago. But he sounds very excited here for Jalen Phillips. I mean, you could hear him talking about it.
I feel like the guy can get after the quarterback a little bit. The biggest thing that he's had is a lot of injuries.
Yep.
But they're excited about him. Like I said, he has a little bit – he has something to him. He definitely has something to him. And I think that BG is probably the safety valve. That's okay. BG making like 5 yams. Yeah, that's okay.
We want to see him back in the uniform again.
I wish somebody would give me $5 million to sit on their bench and look like I can play.
No, that's not happening anymore. 215-592-9494. The days of that happening are over.
All right.
Four-pack of tickets on the line today to the Flyers with us on December 3rd. Dumbest thing you ever had to apologize for your take on paying Bryce Harper more as an apology. Adding to his contract, Hugh Douglas wants to do it. I'm losing my mind here. He thinks they're going to do it. I say absolutely not. Preston Mattingly, he was a guest on the High Hopes podcast, Phillies general manager, perhaps a Freudian slip, and another part of the Preston Mattingly puzzle that could change how the Phillies bench looks. We'll talk about that next. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Show to Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Zilla, you guys with us. 215-592-9494.
Hey, must be the money.
We got ourselves 2 4 packs of tickets to give away to the Flyers and the Sabres on December 3rd. Looking for the dumbest thing you ever had to apologize for.
Must be the money.
I feel like there's so many dumb things Hugh Douglas would say if he could.
Oh, man, listen. I done had to apologize for a whole lot of stuff, man. I remember one. Well, I can give you a synopsis.
Okay, yeah, synopsis is good. So, like the AI overview when you look at your email now. Get the AI overview in
well,
there.
I apologize. You know, they got a little trouble back in the day. And I got put out by my wife.
Okay.
And I remember I just, like, you know how, you know it's bad when you wake up and, like, I woke up and she was standing over me.
Oh, you never want that.
And she said, you need to leave. And I got up and I packed my bag.
You didn't say anything?
Because at that point, we can read between lines. At that point, you already know what it is.
Yeah, you're in big trouble.
Yeah, she thought about sending you to the upper room. She thought about sending me to the upper room.
She was sparing your life by telling you to leave.
Yeah, she was telling me to leave. She said, you need to leave. And so I was like, okay. So I packed up my bags and I drove to Texas. I just left from Philly.
Wow.
Just up and
you
left.
Drove all the way to Texas. You had to get that far
hours.
Away.
22 hours. Yeah, well, I ain't had nowhere to go.
That's a lot.
I ain't had nowhere to go. So, and I wasn't going back to Ohio. I was like, I'd be damned if I go back to Ohio.
Yeah, never mind the place that's short. That's like, you know, eight, nine hours away. Hey, let's go 22 hours away.
Let's go to Texas.
Sound like the guy feared for his life over here. You're going to get halfway across the country.
I went to Texas. I drove to Texas. I never forget that. I packed up my truck. I mean, but that's kind of like par for the course for me. I just throw everything in the back of the truck.
Like when the Jaguars got you. Yeah.
I just threw everything in the back. All my stores where I had to just up and leave always involve a pickup
when
truck.
When Hugh gets caught, he just gets in the pickup truck and leaves.
And I just leave.
It makes
and
sense why you're so attached to it. You never know when you're going to have to hightail it on out
of
here.
Man, listen. The pickup truck, and I recommend this to anybody, is the best overall vehicle that you can have. Because you don't worry. Like, see, when you drive an SUV, you're worried about the overall aesthetics of an SUV.
Yeah.
You know, you worry about the way it look and keeping it clean. With a truck, you ain't got to worry about nothing. You ain't got to worry about dents in it or anything like that. Because dents in a truck, they add character to the vehicle.
Maybe when the kids are grown up and I'm done with the minivan, maybe I'll get a pickup truck.
Get a pickup truck. I'm telling you, man, you'll love it. It's so versatile.
It's under consideration. All right, 215-592-9494. Your phone calls here. But first, let's hear Preston Mattingly, Philly's general manager. You know, it's obviously Dave Dombrowski, president of baseball operations. Preston Mattingly as the GM. He was a guest on the High Hopes podcast. Good get by those guys to get Preston Mattingly. So let's hear why fans should be excited about the baseball team as we go into the offseason by the Philly's GM.
There are some fans who are down right now with the Phillies, and obviously the way the season ended. I want to give you a chance to speak to those people and tell them why they should be excited and get back in, because next year is going to be awesome.
Yeah, I think we got a good core group coming back. I think, you know, as an organization, we're always looking to improve our club, and we will do that this offseason. And I think we have an influx of young players coming that are going to be really excited to watch. So I think Philly baseball is in a really good spot. I know we haven't finished the way us as an organization or the fans want. You know, I know as an organization, we're not going to stop until we get that World Series. So I would tell fans that, you know, stick with us. We're going to keep building this thing the right way. And we got a lot of exciting young players to come and to build with.
All right. Well, I mean, I hope they do. And that's the one thing about the franchise that hasn't happened quite yet. Like, Bohm's fine. Mm-hmm. And Stott's been, I like Stott, but he's been mostly just fine, right? Like, they haven't developed a superstar player around here in a while. I mean, think about the guys they brought in. Schwarber imported him, right? Castellanos, Harper, Turner, Hugh, even Wheeler, right? Since Hoskins and Nola, there really haven't been like big time players that they've developed.
And the daycare hasn't really turned out what you thought the daycare was going to be.
They're fine.
Yeah, they're not those guys that you feel like you can lean on.
Yeah,
like that.
And hopefully that's going to change, because that's the way to continue contention. Because, you know, we're talking today about Harper and more money and age and all these guys. The way to extend this window is Aiden Miller and Andrew Painter, like these guys, Crawford, to become all star level players.
You need to see Andrew Painter. Because especially when you talk about what some of the other younger pitchers did this year.
Yeah. It's time. I'm tired of waiting.
I didn't mean to touch a nerve. I can just tell the way you dropped your head.
3 years they've been telling me he's just the greatest prospect of all time.
I got him, Gage Wood. Next
the kid
year.
From Pottstown's in the World Series striking out 12 Dodgers, and I can't get Painter up here. All right, this is also interesting. Listen to this one for Preston Mattingly on balancing young players versus winning now. Really take a listen to this one.
How do you balance the need to win now and this kind of veteran group with trying to infuse youth and trying to like lengthen that window if you bring back and have this kind of core of players who are aging?
Why can't we do both, right? Like, why can't we have guys that are in, like, you know, win now moments of their or parts of their career, and then also introduce young players who can grow with them? And I think some of the veteran guys, we obviously love our clubhouse and what they brought there with Schwarber and Harper and Turner and the group. And I think it's a good environment to bring young players into. So I think, you know, I think having those guys there, it helps our young players to introduce them.
Hugh, you think that was a Freudian slip, or was it just kind of stream of consciousness? So he's talking about how balancing, right? Young players, but also have the vets try to win while the young players arrive. And he mentioned the clubhouse, right? And kind of incorporating the young players into the fold with the leaders they have. And he said Schwarber, Turner, Harper. Now, as of 5 o'clock today, Kyle Schwarber's no longer a Philly. He's a free agent.
But you think of him as a leader. And you do. He's definitely somebody you want to keep.
If he's on the team.
But he didn't mention JT Realmuto, who is the same boat, right? He's a leader. I'd imagine they want to keep him. It almost sounded to me like in his mind, Schwarber was back.
You're looking at it like by omitting like a few guys that he thinks he's gonna, like, Schwarber's gonna be here, but not JT.
Maybe. I mean, maybe. It was interesting because he knows the deal with both of them. They're both free agents.
I think JT's a leader, right? But I feel like when you talk about this team, the names that he said at the top are the ones that come to mind quicker.
Yeah, and I didn't take it as JT's not a leader. I wonder if it's more about they not think he's coming back?
Because Schwarber was the first name. The first name, and so he's a priority. Like, when I look at the paradigm shift for this team and the way, especially in this playoff series, it felt like Schwarber took the lead a little bit. I mean, to me it did. Yeah. It just felt like he took the lead a little bit, and it also felt like Bryce was trying to play catch up, if you will.
Yeah, well, Schwarber was better this season.
Yeah. So it was a little bit of that. And you know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, maybe that's why the comments that were made about Bryce in the press conference hit home a little bit, you know? But I think that there's a priority in that building to make sure that they try to do everything they can to get Schwarber back.
I agree with you. And I think that's going to be the priority. I think the JT thing is the most fascinating part of the offseason. If I had to guess right now, they're going to do their best to bring back Schwarber. He probably comes back. I think they're probably going to let Ranger walk because all the pitching depth they think they have. I don't know. I mean, are they willing to go 3 years to a catcher that's this old? I think there's a chance that JT walks, and then they're in a tough spot because there's not free agent catchers that are of real note. And
that's a lot of old.
You got to pay a big price to trade for a catcher. They're in a weird spot with JT.
Yeah. I know, like, Rutschman's out there.
But he's not going to be cheap in a trade.
No, he's not. But that's really the only guy that I can think of. Like, if you're committed to trying to win with this group and JT becomes one of the odd men out, then that's the only reasonable. Like, that's the only one that I could get excited about, really.
Yeah, a guy that's been an all-star and a good player. Yeah, it's the catching one is a tough one. We'll see. I want JT back, and I would do it for 2 years. But if it starts getting to 3 or 4 years, I mean, what are we doing? Like, having a catcher that age.
It's a lot of old.
Yeah, it's a lot of old. It's too much old.
What?
It is.
That's just the way he said. That's a lot of old.
I mean, if they're old. We got a whole team that has to be out of room in a few years. You're not in good shape. The good Reverend Hugh Douglas. You haven't worn the Reverend out for in a while.
No, I haven't. You know why? Because I don't know. Like, my neck has grown. Like, I can't button. Like, Joe, I can't button up.
You
my
told
top
you
collar.
People that?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Like, yeah, I don't know why I said that in front of them.
My neck has grown.
You know, normally, like,
just get a new shirt.
Normally, but this is the crazy part. Because normally, like, if your shirts don't fit, for most people, it's in the gut area. It doesn't fit in the neck. It fits everywhere else.
So your weight goes to your neck.
I don't understand it. And I'm like, I ain't been doing no neck curls or nothing. But I can't button up the top one.
The reason Hugh Douglas hasn't gotten dressed up for the show.
I got to get some new shirts.
His neck is growing. All right, one more quick thing on the Preston Mattingly front. This is interesting. One to keep an eye on. So Preston Mattingly, of course, is the son of the former great baseball player Don Mattingly, right, who's become a longtime coach. He was the Dodgers manager, Marlins, and then this most recent year, Hugh, he finally got to the World Series after a million years of being in baseball. Don Mattingly was on the Blue Jays bench as their bench coach. Story this morning from John Heyman. Don Mattingly is stepping away from Jays on great terms and leaving them in excellent position, but this is not a retirement announcement, and now he's open to new opportunities. So it didn't take long for the dots to start getting connected here. Hugh, there's a former manager who was a great player who's now become a bench coach who's now available. A couple weeks ago, the Phillies said they'd like a bench coach with some experience.
Boom.
Jim Salisbury saying the Phillies have discussed the possibility of hiring him as his bench coach. So
yeah, I think that sounds like that happened.
I mean, it's Preston's dad. And he's a very qualified bench coach. I'd keep an eye on that one. It sounds like Don Mattingly could become the bench coach for Topper here. I mean, he's got a lot of experience.
Yeah, I mean, and it makes sense, you know, in case, you know. But I don't feel the same way that people felt at the end of the year about Topper now since, you know, he's up for
Manager of the Year?
Yes.
They do know each other, too, because they were in the Yankees organization all those years. So it's probably someone Topper, I mean, sure, he knows him well, and they are, you know, they're familiar with each other. So that feels like it could be the next bench coach. So let's quickly grab Brian and Brumo. Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Good, Brian. What's up?
Oh, man, I'm a huge Bryce Harper fan, man. I have his jersey. I got his T-shirt. Probably my favorite player on the team. But, man, results matter. You can't be crying for an extension when you hit 200 against the Dodgers.
It's the wrong time, Brian. And I'm like you. Like, I'm a fan of him, and I'm glad he's here. And the day they signed him was an awesome day for the franchise. And he's been a really, really good Philly.
100%.
But not with 6 years to go. Not coming off for getting knocked out the first round.
Hold on. It is important context that he did not publicly ask for a contract following hitting 200 against the Dodgers.
Yes, you're right.
But this is the time he could get that extension. He's been asking for years, right? This started in 2023. Remember when he hit his 300th home run and he said he wanted to die in this uniform?
Yes.
That's where this was. I mean,
yeah, but
if it's up to you guys, he literally will. But he'll be 80 when he's out of here.
The perception of him matters, though. Like, people are going to sit here and rip him. Like, how dare he? Like, how dare he do what? He didn't ask for anything right now. This is just, this is our idea.
This is us recklessly speculating.
Right, but
they called him out in the paper, and his feelings was hurt.
But I think it's fair to connect the dots.
He was definitely hurt.
Is it fair to say this has been a continuation of the original last years ago? I think it is.
Well, it's 100%. Okay, Brian. So let's workshop this a little bit because I think this has evolved into Bryce wanting more money. But you hurt Bryce's feelings when you publicly said that he had fallen off. So how do we make this better, Brian?
World, yeah, Bryce didn't say anything until Dave did.
But Brian, how do we make this better for Bryce? Like let's workshop this.
Better
how do we make this
Bryce?
Better for Bryce? Well, his feelings are hurt, Joe.
Tell him to enjoy the offseason. We'll see you in Clearwater.
Wait a minute, I'm going to talk to you in a minute. I'm talking to Brian right now. Brian, so what you think? How are we going to make this better for Bryce?
I mean, he can start by taking accountability.
Brian,
hold up, Brian.
Accountability, Hugh.
Brian, you almost said it. Brian, you almost said it.
Tell him.
How do you make it better, Brian? Come on. You're there. You're almost there. How do you make it better?
I mean, I've been there. Just accountability. Nothing beats accountability.
That's it.
You know what it beats accountability? Financial apologies.
Yeah, we're done with you. All right, Brian.
Financial apologies.
It's ridiculous.
We're paying him $30 million a year.
I know. Brian, Hugh's crazy. All right, Brian, what do you got for us? Give us the dumbest thing you ever had to apologize for.
All right, man. Yeah, this one's not one of my finer moments. So I live with my girlfriend, and one night, might have had a few too many with the boys and mistook my dryer for the restroom.
Ooh.
You peed in the dryer, man.
Oh, yeah, I've been there.
I can neither confirm nor deny that.
Been there.
Brian, that's a good one. You're in the mix. I like that phone call.
I was about to say, if it was the washer, you'd have probably been better off if it was the washer.
Yeah.
Because you can clean that.
That dryer.
The washer, you just put a pot in or something and run it.
Yeah, run that.
No one has to know. The dryer's a problem. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. You know who's on the line, Hugh?
Who's on the line?
We haven't talked to him in a little while here. I think there was a little trouble in the family last time. Mr. Quinn, Kyle's dad.
Hey, Mr. Quinn.
Hey, how you doing, Joe and you? Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, anytime, Mr. Quinn. We love when you call.
Appreciate you letting me on. I called in because of the topic of apologizing for stuff. And if you don't mind, I'd like to talk to my son for a minute.
Please, no.
Hey, Kyle. Yeah, it, I know sometimes I overreact and fly off the handle a bit, but your mom misses you, and yeah, she wants you to come home.
Okay. Everything's fine. I'm good.
You going home, Kyle?
Your mom would love to have you back home. She misses her son.
Mm-hmm. That's fine.
Hey, listen, you know, I realize some of this tension was my fault. That's why I'm calling. I wasn't always perfect dad when you were growing up. You know, at times I should have eased up on you, like when you were carrying around that lucky blanket as a kid.
The Elmo one?
Yeah, I remember all that Elmo nonsense. You carried that thing everywhere, and I made you pay. I guess I could have let up a little. Then it was the time you slept over at the Gallagher's, and I had to pick you up early because you peed the bed again.
No, come on, man.
That's not fun.
Well, you did pee the bed until you're 15. Mm. I mean, and that's without alcohol. But truth is, I apologize for that. Your mom would prefer if you were home. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. You know, I remember when you had a lot of things as a kid, you know. You had that goofy stuffed animal thing. What was his name? Mr. Sissy?
Mr. Hissy.
Oh, no.
Mr. Sissy.
Mr. Hissy was a filthy, dirty, vile rag. Soiled the whole house. Hey, guys, listen, it got so bad, I finally stole that thing from Kyle in the middle of the night when he was sleeping. I burned it. Kyle woke up the next day distraught. He cried for about a week and a half.
You guys ever wonder why I have issues?
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it seems like I get it now.
That ain't
How about when you had that pet rat?
Ferret.
It looked like a rat to me. He would walk around. He would carry this thing on his shoulder like a freaking weirdo. And when you sucked your thumb. Did you guys know Kyle was a thumb sucker until a couple years ago?
Didn't know that one.
That's new.
Yeah, we paid a fortune in therapy to get him to stop sucking his thumb. Couldn't take your mother on vacation. Couldn't even take her to my favorite restaurant, La Danta.
I thought, Mr. Quinn, I thought this was supposed to be an apology here.
Yeah, it got real, real.
We've gone
quick.
Backwards again.
It's what happens. You're right. I got to settle myself down a little bit. I know it's my fault. I apologize for being tough on you. So many things with this kid. God, you don't even. How long did you breastfeed, Kyle? Oh, these goodness. Guys don't even know about that. I think you were in seventh grade, weren't you? When you
Dang,
it was at least middle school. He'd come home from school and run right to the back bedroom looking for a drinkie. That's why he got to be such a mama's boy, probably.
Dude, you cannot be serious.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, I'm serious. He was lying up there with you for about an extra hour and a half. Don't you think that cut into my time with her either? Couldn't even get her to well A with me for that long.
Drinky is crazy.
I remember. When you were in freshman year, you had that disgusting ponytail.
I mean, Mr. Quinn, a lot of kids have long hair. That's not that big of a deal. Let's get a break.
I guess I should have let up on him. Like I said, I apologize. Hey, I'm an old football coach. You know, I wear a crew cut. I coached the high school team for over 20 years. All my other sons played for me, and I coached all the kids in youth football, too, before that, except Kyle.
Kyle, I thought you said you played more football.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Kyle, why don't you tell him what position you played?
Nope. Please stop.
He was a punter. That's my son, the punter. And that was just in youth football. Kyle, why don't you tell him what you did when you got into high school?
Mm-mm. Nope. Please stop.
I coached the varsity high school football team for more than 20 years. All Kyle's brothers played for me. And when it was Kyle's turn to play, you know what he did?
What'd he do?
He got on the field all right as a cheerleader.
No, mascot. No. Mascot. Mascot.
The same thing. It's just about, that was it for me. I couldn't coach anymore. Seeing my son prance around in a beaver costume, my entire legacy soiled. wonder why I get worked up.
So I guess it's not a great time to ask what you thought about Kyle's Woody costume last week, huh, Mr. Quinn?
There's another sore spot. Last Friday, right? Happy Halloween. Fun day, right? I sit down at 10 o'clock, have my brother over, my neighbor, dutiful dad, proud dad, ready to watch my son on the YouTube. All of a sudden, I see somebody dressed in a ridiculous outfit as somebody named Woody. Woody! Couldn't be a police officer or a soldier or something normal. You got to be dancing around with your tassels toggling.
Yeah, I mean... I can't do it anymore.
I guess you're not moving back in?
No, well, after that.
Okay.
Well, by the way, did you notice he said your mother misses you? Your mother misses
not
you.
Him.
Not him.
Yeah, I know.
Did not get that from him.
I'm still stuck on drinky.
I'm not sure whether the pain in his voice or yours is worse during those calls. 215-592-9494.
Drinky is crazy.
Whew. That was a new one. All right, we got a lot to do here. It's everyone's phone calls on the Harper situation. I got Hugh over here trying to pay him more money. You guys are out of your minds. I don't want to pay him a single dime.
Pay that man.
We got to hear from the Packers, our opponent on Monday night. I don't know what the hell's going on in that locker room right now. We got the four packs of tickets to go see the Flyers with us. And you know what else we got here? The Hess truck is back. Caller number 4 to the contest line, 215-988-1258 right now. Caller number 4. 215-988-1258 wins the Hess 2025 stock car racer loaded with action-packed features. You get it on HessToyTruck.com for $49.99. We have it right now for you as we head towards the holiday season. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Every NFL Thursday is your chance to hit the jackpot on FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. Because with FanDuel's Thursday touchdown jackpot, you can win a share of $2 million in bonus bets each week. To get in on this Thursday's action, all you have to do is place an anytime touchdown score bet before the game kicks off. And if your player scores the first or last touchdown of the game, you'll win your bet. Plus, a share of bonus bets. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to take a shot at the jackpot. FanDuel.com/GIGLIO for your chance to win a share of $2 million in bonus bets. Play your game with FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NFL. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official sportsbook of 94 WIP.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Jonah Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.